The Christmas season is Hollywood's last chance to end the year on a high note, with many prestige projects and box office hopefuls hitting theaters in quick succession. Two of those new films couldn't be more different, and neither is called Star Wars. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Greta Gerwig's literary adaptation and second film as a director, Little Women, opened on Christmas Day, and Sam Mendes' impressive World War I dispatch, 1917, is coming soon. Joining me to discuss both films, I'm happy to have back on the program frequent On Film contributor Jean Creel. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning, Chuck.
I hope you had a very Merry Christmas and lots of great films coming at the end of the year. Another one, Little Women, right up your alley, I think, as a former English teacher.
Oh, very much. And an avid reader of it as a young girl. Little Women. There have been film and TV adaptations of this beloved classic for over 100 years. There's even a 1918 silent version of Little Women. So we wonder, do we really need another? Well, yes. We needed the vision and style of Greta Gerwig to write and direct a 2019 interpretation. But even though she wrote the screenplay, it is firmly grounded in Louisa May Alcott's novel of four sisters coming of age in New England during the Civil War. Gerwig hasn't really interpreted it so much as put Alcott's incredibly intuitive and forward thinking in context for today's audience. But don't think that Gerwig has gone off the rails and produced a radical narrative. Rather, she shows us how timeless and relevant Alcott's writings are. Gerwig allows her characters to develop through dialogue and action, but also through her decision to play with the continuity of the film. Alcott's story is told chronologically, but Gerwig instead reveals the main characters through flashbacks to their childhood, then flashes forward as we see them as more mature and becoming women, young women, each of whom reveals the story's central message, that women have a mind and a soul as well as a heart. I think much of the enduring popularity of the novel and film adaptations is that each of the four girls are so individual. The serious and practical Meg, the rebellious tomboy Joe, the angelic, musical Beth, and the vain, spoiled Amy. It's a delightful mix that works because of the tremendous bond they have, all for one and one for all. And the cast of this version is quite strong. Saoirse Ronan is, as always, a marvel to watch as she portrays Jo, true to the Alcott character, but also imbues her with vitality, determination, and even vulnerability. Emma Watson, Meryl Streep, Laura Dern, and many other new and familiar faces round out the cast. Surprisingly topical, the film touches on several themes. For example, marriage as an economic proposition, the importance of art and music in life, education and equality for women, even attitudes toward immigration, and always the strength and resilience of family and friends.
And I love the way that she uses, through all of these sisters, their artistic outlets as a way to elevate them out of the constraints of their social setting. And I've never read the book, but I've seen the other film versions.
Okay.
And this one is perhaps more proto-feminist in its approach, that it appears is also a theme in the book, that these young women in a world that's largely without men, because it is set during the end of the Civil War. So a
Correct.
Lot of the men are off at war and they're making their own way in the world. And it's a marvelously rich film. The one qualm I had, you touched upon the flashbacks and flash forwards. The way the film is constructed by Gerwig is sometimes not completely apparent when we're slipping in and out of those moments. But that's a small qualm.
I wondered about that because as someone who has read the book
Yes.
and numerous times, I found myself anticipating, okay, now she's going to do this or this is going to happen. And I did wonder, for those people who had not read the book, were not as familiar with the sequence of events,
mm-hmm.
if the back and forth might not be slightly confusing, because she never really shows the girls as young children,
Yes.
but more as teens as they mature into, say, their early 20s.
Did you ever teach this book?
No, I did not. I think probably this book is taught in middle school.
It's a series of really beautiful vignettes, too, and I think a really balanced view of these four sisters. You know, you would think with Saoirse Ronan frontlining this, it would be all about her, and she has a dominant part, but I love the moments that are spent with the others. For me, Laura Dern and Emma Watson, couldn't quite warm to them, but Florence Pugh and Eliza Scanlon and Timothy Chalamet as young
Laurie.
Suitor were fantastic. What an amazing cast of young talent that you can see all in one place.
Right, right. And I like, too, as you pointed out, the artistic balance of each of them, Amy and her art and Beth and her music, her piano, and the plays that Joe would stage when they were children, making everyone participate, even Laurie from next door. I did read a fascinating interview with Greta Gerwig, and she mentioned a particular line in the film that's spoken by Joe's mother. Because Joe is so angry about something, and Joe's mother says, "I am angry nearly every day of my life." And Gerwig commented that people will probably think I wrote that line. And she said, "Every word came from Alcott's writings."
And really speaks to the dissatisfaction, even in the 1860s, of the avenues that women had before them. So it's a marvelous film, and I think, as you pointed out in your review, very modern, even 150 years later.
Exactly, 150 years.
Amazing. Well, if that film, Little Women, is all about the world of women and somewhat about war, it's on the periphery of the film. Our next film, Sam Mendes' new film, 1917, is a riveting World War I tale about the imperative of movement. It's a deceptively simple story brought to the screen by some of the most complicated filmmaking of the decade. A British battalion is about to attack the retreating Germans, unaware that they will fall into a trap and be annihilated. To avert disaster, two soldiers are selected to carry out orders that will save 1,600 lives. Traveling light, the two men must make their way across miles of trenches, battlefields, and bombed-out villages before the next dawn. Over the film's 2 hours, we'll take every step with them. The 1957 anti-war film Paths of Glory by Stanley Kubrick contained an impressive 2-minute-long sequence of Kirk Douglas walking headlong through battlefield trenches. Sam Mendes here has taken that memorable moment many steps farther, constructing an entire film that is essentially one long walk, crawl, and run, propelled by Roger Deakins's extraordinary photography and technical wizardry. The camera, like the film's two protagonists, never stops moving, sometimes trailing, sometimes leading these two characters through all manner of landscape and peril. The viewer, like the two men at the heart of the film, are dispatched headlong, always moving forward and into harm's way, right along with them. It's an incredibly ambitious approach, and one that relies heavily on the minutely orchestrated choreography of cast and crew. All of the action and emotion has to be constructed and captured in camera, an extraordinary feat that never feels like a gimmick. The methodicalness of the film's construction and its choice to forego the use of so many of the cinema's editorial tools makes for a riveting experience that is tempered by a bit of intellectual distance, I found, holding us just at arm's length, but seemingly appropriate to the times and the tale. The contrast between the individual messengers of the story and the panorama and scale of war and its use of men as so much disposable meat seems right to me. With few exceptions, the hundreds of men who fill the trenches and battlefields we march through are often static, stuck waiting, a human backdrop, their own individuality sublimated to a greater cause, which makes the ever-moving camera all the more dynamic. 1917 begins and ends with images of a man leaning against a tree, gazing upon a pastoral landscape, the only respite we'll get as viewers. Between those two moments is one of the year's most cinematic and harrowing journeys through a landscape of men and nature that have been abstracted, torn apart, and rendered surreal. A film and a technical accomplishment that should be experienced on the big screen. I really, really think this is an important film.
Absolutely. To me, it's a powerhouse of many of the elements that define a perfect film. The direction, the cinematography, the editing, and the music. Mm. The use of the one-shot technique takes that film to a whole new level. It's going to be the gold standard for classes studying.
I still don't know how they made this film, frankly.
One of the things I loved about it was the few times that you do see a break. For example, when the film cuts to black, not fades to black, it cuts to
black. There's a blackout.
It's a very drastic change in either the action or the emotion.
Yes.
Roger Deakins is just flawless.
He is perhaps the greatest living cinematographer, and just last year got his very first Academy Award. I think he might get a follow-up this year for this film.
Well, he certainly deserves it, as though I think, as does Thomas Newman. To me, the music in this movie was like the heartbeat. It just tracked the emotions. And I first fell in love with Newman's music when I saw the 2002 Road to Perdition, directed by Sam Mendes. And this will be his, 14th nomination? I hope he wins.
I was on the fence, frankly. I've seen this twice, and we should mention that this is released nationally on Christmas Day, but will not come to El Paso for another week or two, so this is a preview. But we've both seen the film early. I've seen it twice, and maybe because I'm a cinephile, I was a little outside of the film the first viewing. I had to watch it twice to really fully get it, because I was so fascinated by its construction and its making that I found myself pulled a bit out of the film trying to figure out how they pulled off an hour and 6 minute long shot.
Exactly.
That doesn't stop until this break you're talking about, where we go to black briefly. Mm-hmm. So if people come up a bit cold on this film, which I think is part of its brilliance, not all films should be pulling at our heartstrings, I would suggest they see it a second time and try to get the technique out of the way, so they can just be flowing along like a river with this camera through this landscape.
I agree, and I'm so glad that the audience will have had an opportunity to hear your analysis, because I think it is something that need not be distracting, but will completely cement that film for them as an Oscar winner.
Yeah, an amazing thing, and an amazing year. We frequently think cinema is dying, and every year it roars right back with
absolutely.
Great work by great artists. Two very good films ending out this year and this decade. It's hard to believe we're coming to the end. Anything you want to recommend as we close out the show?
Well, quickly, a lot of buzz for Marriage Story, which is streaming on Netflix, stars Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson as we witness the total destruction of a marriage. And you want to reach out and tell them what they're both doing
just
wrong.
Give them a hug.
But oh gosh, you just have to watch it all fall apart.
Another Netflix film.
Yes. And it's powerful, painful, but worth watching.
And two of the best performances of the year. For me, it's Uncut Gems, which also opened on Christmas Day just a few days ago. The Safdie brothers' frantic film about a New York jeweler and gambling addict whose head, feet, and mouth are always racing. He's always trying to stay one step ahead or make that final great score that's always just out of reach. I have to say, it's brilliant filmmaking, and I never thought I would be saying that one of the best performances of the year is given by Adam Sandler. But it is, and it should be seen on the big screen as well, though I will caution people, it is incredibly anxiety-producing. It's 2.5 hours of freneticness that I just found myself gripping my seat the whole time. But it's bravado filmmaking, and they put it all up there, so highly recommended. Can't believe the decade is over. Maybe we'll do a show soon about the best films of the decade, but Jean, it's always great to see you.
I'd love to. Thank you.
I've been discussing the just-released literary adaptation Little Women and the soon-to-be-released World War I film 1917 with frequent on-film contributor Jean Creel. Both films are highly recommended, and as always, we'd suggest seeing them first in a theater. On Film's producer is Seth Van Meter. An archive of past programs is available online at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak, wishing you and yours a very happy new year, and thank you for listening to On Film.